This is ESPN Radio's Bart and Hahn Podcast.
It's Bart and Hahn. Alan Hahn, Bart Scott. ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests on the Bart and Hahn Show appear on the Goodyear Hotline. You can get us at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. And let's take Jason in Vermont on this whole Lombardi Trophy disgrace controversy. Jason.
How's it going?
Good, yourself?
I'm good.
Yeah, I'm doing well. Well, I just want to say, I feel like the whole thing with that girl crying out about how Tom Brady threw it on the other boat, I don't think she remembered that Gronk literally hit it with a baseball. That's literally all I have to say about it. I thought it was pretty crazy because she just completely forgot about that.
Hey, are you surprised that Giselle hasn't clapped back and took protected her man? Like she claps back.
He only
and
has
goes.
Seven of them now. Like you'd think he'd be allowed to do something with it.
And this is the thing. Like
that's
you,
what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And what people don't realize is people
appreciate
that think you, have,
Jason,
you have replicas as well, right? You think when Brian Billick has the trophy behind him. You think that he took it out of the Ravens? He asked the Ravens to borrow it for he can do a spot with me and you? Like, no. They make them. Like, it's just like you lose a ring, they make a new one. Like,
do
stop
people
it.
Really, like, but I mean, I just feel like sometimes it's like, you know, remember Herm Edwards used to say, don't press send?
Yeah.
I feel like there's, it's a life lesson here sometimes to just think to yourself for a minute, like, do I really want to put that out in the world? Is it that big of a deal? That I had to say, like, you really couldn't sleep because guys won a trophy. They won the trophy.
Meanwhile.
And they worked hard for it. And the trophy's getting a lot of attention. And you couldn't sleep because they just tossed it from one boat to another fun with it.
I mean,
again,
meanwhile.
I can't tell you what they've done with it. There's countless stories about what they've done to that Stanley Cup. Is so, Lord Stanley, are his predecessors just rolling over? Are they calling out?
Art thou thus? I'm just trying to think of this more.
Art thou thus? I know what that is. But I feel like I just feel like you win that thing, and it's such a celebration. By the way, the Stanley Cup was once left on the side of a road. That's a true story. Forget the team. The Montreal Canadiens had won it, and they were heading to a party, and they had like a flat tire, so they got out and changed the flat. And I guess they had to get the cup out of the trunk so they can get to the tools to change the flat. Then they go to the party and they realize they left the cup where they had changed the flat on the side of the road. Like, this happens. It's all part of the history, the lore, the story. It just makes it fun. It tells the story instead of it just always being in a glass encasement where you're handling it all the time in white gloves. No.
How cool would that have been if some old lady something saw it on the side of the road and put it in an antique shop, not knowing what the hell it is? And then somebody's like, oh, this isn't the real Stanley Cup. Look, it has a ding on it. It got dust on it. And
right.
They sell it.
Yeah,
oh,
it's unbelievable, man.
People take themselves too seriously, man. Like, listen.
Yeah, I felt like that's one of those things that just didn't need to be in the world.
She
tried
but
I love the fact that Jason Light saw it and right away was like, lighten up, Francis. Like, come on. Like, we're just, like, we're having some fun here. Now, one story, though, that we won't take lightly, Bart.
Yeah.
Is something we talked about on Friday that then had immediate response to, and that is the Chris Doyle situation with the Jacksonville Jaguars. As Urban Meyer added him among the coaches that he hired for his franchise. And Doyle is, again, the former strength coach of the University of Iowa, who was accused of making racist remarks and also belittling and bullying players at Iowa. And he ended up losing his job, or did he walk away from his job with Iowa, paid, of course. And then he was since hired by Jacksonville. And Meyer said he vetted it, that he's known the guy for 20 years. He defended the hire. The Fritz Pollard Alliance came out just absolutely criticizing the hire. We did too as well. And Urban Meyer and Trent Baalke both released statements saying the team failed to properly consider the impact of hiring Doyle, which, Bart, to me, I can't understand that part of it.
Right.
Failed to understand the impact? Doesn't make sense. And then he said Chris Doyle was the one who came to them in the evening on Friday and basically submitted his resignation.
Yeah, sure.
And he said that Chris didn't want to be a distraction.
Sure.
He's the hero here. He didn't want to be a distraction to what we're building in Jacksonville. We are responsible for all aspects of our program, and in retrospect, we should have given greater consideration to how this appointment may have affected all involved. We wish him the best. Of course, wish him the best as he moves forward in his career. Like, Bart, like it's just, this is tone deaf.
It's BS, and it's reactionary because he thought that he can hire one of his friends from the good old boys club. Like, oh, man, you got wronged by Iowa. Let me hook you up. Let me put it. Listen, they thought, and also this story almost, we thought this story was going to get lost in the midst of J.J. Watt deciding to walk away from the Texans.
And we didn't let that happen.
And I want to pat ourselves on the back for making sure that this story was told, and it was told in its proper context, because this is a guy that disqualified himself, in my eyes, to ever work in team sports. Whenever you're going to talk about working around minority players, anytime you said or been accused of saying racist remarks, demeaning, and bullying, it disqualifies. That's everything the NFL stands against. They stand against anti-bullying, whether you're bullying, you know, somebody that's your peers or you're bullying some kids. Like, you disqualify yourself when you make those remarks to walk around and walk in the locker room when you think about the composition of 70% probably African Americans. Like, how offensive and how tone-deaf are you to how other players will be feel comfortable around this man when they know what he's accused of? And, yeah, you knew him for 25 years, but guess who else has known him for 25 years? The 20 years that he's worked for Iowa, they've known him. And they decided to move on from him and say he wasn't good for business. So he's not good enough to coach there, but he's good enough to coach, you know, coach your organization? Like, come on, man. This is Urban Meyer saying, hey, I'm in a newlywed phase. I'm going to slip one under the guy's eyes and then think that we would be paying attention. And then, oh, when we pay attention, he tried to cover it up by saying, oh, no, I've known this guy forever. Okay, but what kind of investigation did you do? Because I thought Iowa hired a law firm that did a thorough investigation. Your investigation was, oh, come on in. It sounds like when President Trump...
Well, he vetted it based on his relationship.
Right, exactly. Hey, did you say it? Hey, man, you know you can't be saying none of that stuff around here. All right, bet, man. All right, come on in. Got you. Like, come on, stop it, man. We've been there, done that, man. Well, I don't think he has any reason to lie to me. Yeah, he does. And this is the crazy thing. Oh, he came to us. He's the hero. He didn't want to be a distraction. I wonder if he's still going to get that one-year compensation. Yeah. Is that the goodbye gift? It's crazy.
Oh, God. If they sign him and then they pay him to go away. Listen... Chris Doyle is obviously still going to deal with this publicly, and for him, like you said, for him to get another job, the guy's got to work, of course, but this is high profile. You want to get yourself back in good graces, high profile is probably not the way to go. It's probably do some things that can rehabilitate your profile, your credibility in sports. Maybe do it that way, but you know, neither here nor there. He's gone. Urban Meyer is still there. But how do you look at Urban Meyer now after, you know, he's putting this together, he's in the NFL, that's part of the hiring process for him. Shouldn't there be a little, like, where's the accountability for him other than putting out a statement saying that we didn't realize that people would be this upset? He didn't realize it?
Listen, he's used to this, right? Remember the assistant Smith that he had in Ohio State?
Zach Smith, yeah.
He's a guy that marches to the beat of his own drum. He's used to being able to do everything. He was judge and juror, right? So he's been able to do that his whole career. This is the big leagues, baby. It's not a one-man show. It can be a one-man show when you're the high-profile coach that's winning national championships in college. The most important person isn't the athletic director. It's the head coach. That's the one who has the power. Listen, inside the NFL, it's different tiers of power, right? You have the president, you got the general manager, and then it comes down maybe to the
coach. Some organizations.
He seems to have
a lot of autonomy there, though.
Yeah, but you understand, his one job is just to not embarrass the organization. He did that, you know, because he's trying to hook his boy up. And that's listen, we didn't even know he had a press conference. That's how low they've been riding in Jacksonville. Listen, when you're a bad organization, do your work and stay out of the way. Don't make any headlines to embarrass the organization, and then get better and get good while nobody's paying attention. And then you look up and you're good, and then you can start having a louder voice and being able to pull some things like that. But how about win a damn game before you start bringing in controversial pieces and saying that you vetted them? Nah, bro.
Well, let's see. I think the impact it's going to have now, not just on Urban Meyer in the media or in public eye, but how about in his own locker room? Here's Stephen A. Smith talking about some accountability with Urban Meyer and his players.
He definitely dropped the ball, and that's a price that was going to be paid. And I think to some degree it's still a price that's going to be paid, because when these guys get in front of him, I think they are going to confront him about why he would make this decision, particularly without consulting anybody, and think that that was okay, specifically in regards to the times that we're living in, what we've just finished enduring over all of these months, how our society is supposed to be woke now more than ever before, and yet Urban Meyer still came out and behaved in a way that was indicative of some of the problems that black folks have been complaining about for decades. And that's unilateral decisions being made, clearly involving double standards, et cetera, et cetera. And that, you know what, you're just going to have to trust us. No, that's not the society that we're living in right now. And trust is not something that you're just going to be given by players. It's something that you're going to have to earn. And I think Urban Meyer took a step back in this direction.
Now, Bart, you mentioned this on Friday, but I think it's worth repeating. Let's say they don't make any change. They say they just stick with it. You get into your season, your players start coming in the building, they see him. A lot of guys would probably know the story by now because a lot of the media certainly was covering it.
Yeah.
How would that relationship go? How would that affect chemistry with the team? It was almost like they didn't have a choice. They had to do this.
Yeah, I mean, I know they tried to hide it between underneath sports performance. And you have to worry about sometimes these gurus that's supposed to know everything and know your body better than you know your own. And it's going to create friction. Especially, it's always going to be the elephant in the room. Like, are you talking to me differently than you talking to the white players? And I wonder if the guy there from Iowa is going to be somebody that they would have had to interview or they were going to go, the player's going to talk to. Like, yo, what happened at Iowa? And he's going to give them the unfiltered, uncut version.
Right, but would you walk in that? Would you walk in that gym or in the facility, see him, and then say, "Well, let me give him the benefit of the doubt"? Or would you already have that, like, carrying over, like, "I don't even want to talk to this guy"?
No. It's almost like when your teammates pull up and he got a Confederate flag on. You're like, "Hold up, what's up with this guy? Does he not understand what that means?" Like, you know, we've had a couple of teammates that, you know, didn't understand the gravity of what that flag was because they only have their own history. Oh, we all do it. Oh, it's on Dukes of Hazzard. It's all good. Like, no, that flag ain't all good, bro. That flag is a symbol of oppression, right? No, we not going to rock with that, bro. And you have to educate him. But you understand that he's already educated. He already knows what those things mean. And if he's a guy that's been able to use those that type of language, you know that when he's talking to you, you're asking yourself in mind, like, yo, what do you really think about me? What are you saying? What do you think about black people? And it's just an uncomfortable situation. You spend more time with your strength coach than anybody else outside of maybe, like, the guys.
Position,
you know,
coach?
Your position coach.
Yeah.
You spend every day you with him. Every single day you're there with him, you're spending time with him before, after, recovery day, or your days off. You got to go in and get a recovery lift. And if you feel like this guy has something against you, and if it ever goes to that, he was going to have to see somebody, and it wasn't going to end well. When I say have to see, like, a lot of times, you know, strength coaches are jerks by nature, right? They come in there, they tell you, like, you got to lift.
They're tough guys. They have to be on your case.
They're on your case all the time. They talk, oh, you weak. Oh, you got to get strong, or your body fat. They nitpick you all day. And it's just like, you know, you got to really have the benefit of the doubt that you're trying to push me and not trying to demean me. And when you have a history of demeaning people, that's when it's a misunderstanding. When you have a misunderstanding between two grown-ups, that's when somebody get dropped. I told y'all, I seen some people get flash knockdowns in my days. I've seen a couple guys get hit with them 1-2-piece biscuits. You know what I mean? And then when you have that, then you're going to fragment the side because you got guys that's going to pick the player side. You got guys who are going to pick the strength coach side. So, listen, they had no choice but to do that. But I think people aren't going to really hold Urban Meyer accountable as far as if I'm a player, because by the time you get there, you've never had even seen Chris Doyle. So he'll get the benefit of the doubt. But like I said, when you look at the coaching staff otherwise – you know what I mean? I think it's a solid group. But even, like, I wonder, like, what do the African-American coaches on that team do? You know what I mean? Because they know this guy, what he said and what he believes. How can you work with a guy like that? You know what I mean? It's one of those things, too. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm a grown man, and you sitting up there bullying young African-American players, and I'm an African-American. Like, what you going to say to me? What do you say about me? What you feel about me? Like, so, that, you know, that it was just bad for everybody. The fact that Urban Meyer is that tone deaf says a lot.
Yeah, and quickly had to make a decision on it, too. Also says a lot. Like, almost like they knew. All right, let's see how this – let's see if anybody reacts. Okay, they all reacted. Let's go ahead and bail out of this. That's certainly what happened. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 to be part of the conversation. At Barton Hahn on Twitter and Instagram as well for your thoughts on this and everything else we're talking about in the world of sports. And speaking of which, by the way, Bart, did you happen to watch NASCAR yesterday even a little bit, even out of curiosity?
Bubba Wallace third. Listen, MJ doesn't put it. MJ doesn't put his money down. Yeah, congratulations. You're the first African American to lead a lap.
A lap. Mm-hmm.
Congratulations. No, we want better than that. We demand more of that. No Jordans for you. No free Jordan. You're not gonna go on the shot on the site. You can't use the promo code Bubba, and you're not gonna get no free Jordans. No. Jordans are for winners.
You see what I've got rocking here on ESPN Plus, right?
I see that. You got that M&M. Sorry, Karen. But my real name's Karen. Sorry, your name's Karen.
But the M&M's car was part of the destruction at the end. First of all, the race, almost 6 hour delay because of weather, a wreck in the first 15 laps, a wreck in the final lap, a fiery one at that, and one that had Keselowski. I mean, he was steaming. He threw his helmet at the car. Like, you have to admit, that's kind of funny in a way, where he just took the helmet off and just threw it at the car.
I love when they kind of get in those altercations and fights, man, because, you know what I'm saying?
There's a lot of passion. But still, like, as I watched it, and I just, it was so compelling. The ending was incredible. And the energy, I thought, in the broadcast was great. You know, like, all that stuff was really good. I mean, Clint and Gordon were funny together. It was really good, the whole thing. Now, the long delay in the middle, that's the problem. It's like, yeah, I forgot to come back. A lot of people probably would say that. But I put a tweet out that really upset people this morning. Because, I mean, I was just watching the video back again and again, and I'm just saying, like, damn,
people?
Like,
no.
What a compelling ending. So I said that, you know, NASCAR is far more compelling these days than baseball. Like, that's it. Today's baseball, the all or nothing baseball.
Not the
game that I grew up on that I love. Everybody's like, you just hate baseball. That is not true. I don't like the way the game's played now. It's slow, it's boring, and all, by the way, it also has weather delays and long delays and everything else like that. But man, the vitriol I got back for that. It's incredible.
Hey, man, you know it's American. You know,
and then on our own, on our text chain, I'm getting like, you know, maybe if they were better drivers, they wouldn't run into each other. Maybe you should try to go right turn instead of left turn.
They're going 200 miles an hour, man. Are you crazy?
These guys. I was very upset this morning.
I used to be one of those guys
that
was in
the camp.
That
tweet was triggered by what all the people said, to all the producers and JC, J-Dub, all coming at me about NASCAR. I love NASCAR.
That's because they had never been to the track. Like, listen, I used to have that.
I didn't
have a healthy respect for drivers. So I'm like, it's a machine driving, right? Until I took my Ferrari, threw it on the track.
Where?
Yo.
Where'd you go?
Up north, New York.
Not Watkins.
No. New York. It starts with an M.
All right, isn't it Oval? Was it an Oval?
Yeah, it was an Oval.
Okay, it was an Oval. Okay, go ahead. Keep going.
I almost threw up, too. Like, for real.
Who drove it for you? You had somebody drive it for you,
right?
I did. What?
But you start, like, listen. So, listen. You start.
There's no way you hit.
I got 180.
Stop it. You were doing 180?
I got a V12, baby.
No,
V12.
I'm not saying the car couldn't do it. I didn't know if you could do it.
And listen.
This is during your playing career?
No, this is right after I retired, man. I want to see what I had. But listen, when you start off, they teach you how to hit your brakes. And you know how we ease into our brakes. We kind of ease into it. Like, no, they say slam on the brakes.
Mm-hmm.
Yo, it felt like everything in my stomach was, like, moving. And everything, they was like, listen. And, like, since I've retired, I'm no longer a tough guy. So they was like, hey, man, we can give you some motion medicine, because sometimes people get motion sick when they're going around and they're hitting these speeds because of the G-forces.
Yes.
I was like, yeah, man, go ahead and give me that. When I finished, yo – like, you know, like the opposite part of your shins were sore. My feet was cramping. My wrists, my fingers hurt because you're trying to hold them G's going into that corner. And, so I have a whole due respect. And then they don't even have AC in there. So it's hot as hell up in there. They dehydrated, losing like 7-8 pounds up in that car. So, like, mm-hmm. it is a real thing, man. I never realized that, but I have a healthy respect for that.
And that's all I got to say about that. It's like you just completely dropped the sentence there. That's all you got to say about that. No,
I'm trying to think of the damn track.
Yeah, no, it's. I don't know. I just thought again. Like, if you watch it, there is more to it than just making left turns. I know everybody makes that joke, but that was a hell of a way to start a season. I'll tell you that at the Daytona, that was a hell of a way to start the season. It's compelling. It's interesting. A lot of different storylines with it, and obviously, you know, Bubba Wallace being one of those stories. The 2311 car, the 2311 racing. That would be Denny Hamlin, as along with Michael Jordan, who has always been a big NASCAR fan, a big race fan, as they now are involved in those Jordan. You see the Jordan logo now here and there on the gloves and everything else. That's kind of a cool new addition to the sport. But I don't know. Try to convince me I'm wrong. That is far more compelling than what we've seen out of baseball, and baseball needs to change. And I know there's some people that want to change it, and maybe, as we talked about, you know, the baseballs we mentioned last week, the seams are getting – what are they doing? They're making the ball differently this year. They said it'd be like 3 feet. It won't travel. It'll be let 3 feet fewer, right? Less.
Yeah.
If you hit it over 375. So will the home runs be down this year? Remains to be seen. Can we get more small ball? Can we get more activity in the game? Some action, some base running. I need some Lou Brock. I need some Ricky Henderson. I need some of that going on the base path just as much as you want to see the home runs. You want a balance of it. That's what I want out of the sport. And then it becomes compelling again. But right now, there's all or nothing stuff based on analytics. The boring just pitcher versus batter matchups over and over again. Miss me with it. I need you to be better. That's not the sport I grew up on. All right, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Bart, coming up, we got audio files. You've got to hear what James Harden said about the Nets. Kind of suggests that they should win the championship. We'll explain. Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bart and Hahn.
Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. With more than 30 unique coverage options available, Progressive knows small business. Learn more at progressivecommercial.com. Just to put a bow on that conversation, we had a couple of people, Harold and Bruce, both tweeted at us. You're talking about Monticello Racetrack,
yes.
Upstate New York.
Yeah, man.
Whatever the hell it is you do up in Monticello. Shout out, Hamilton.
Shout out, man, too, because you go there, you do a whole race experience where they take you through everything, and then they end you on the go-karts. But then I was going against some little kids, and because they're so light and we got the same go-kart, they were beating me because I was heavy, so I was trying to sit towards the front of my wheels so I could have some more rear-wheel drive. I wanted to run one of these kids off like Dale Earnhardt, man. So you see these little light kids weighing 80 pounds, like, nyeow, nyeow.
Oh, yeah.
I want to be like, I feel like King Poopa on Mario Kart, and I'm too big for my damn cart, and they just passing me up because they light as hell. I take losing seriously.
No, in anything. This year, by the way, on the circuit, they're actually going to go dirt track.
Ooh.
Is it Bristol or Darlington? It might be Darlington. They're going to go dirt track, which is something to see. Because they just
drifting.
You slide into turns. You know that, right? You
That's
slide into the turns.
Some drifting, yeah.
You drift, yeah. You use the term. Well done. Oh, that is something to watch, no doubt about it.
I'm nice.
So let's
I'm
go.
Nice, baby. I'm nice, Alan. And Alan, I'm nice.
Yeah?
Yeah. I don't know if we could never race. I never put my car on there and race. I keep my car on there just by itself. It just lets you know the little slow Lamborghinis. Everybody think, oh, Lamborghinis look so sweet. Nah,
but it doesn't
man.
Mean we can't have a
Ferrari's
we can't
a
have
driving
a,
car.
It doesn't mean we can't have a road trip, though, you and me.
That is true.
I wouldn't mind going to Talladega.
Ooh.
What do you think?
Second bike!
Can we get
Shake
Marty and McGee to take we can go down there and do a little show trip?
That
hang
might
out
be
with
dope.
Marty and McGee and
Marty
go to
McGee,
Talladega.
That'd be dope.
Let's make that happen.
Am I allowed? Am I allowed?
I
know you're good, but am I allowed?
Seriously. Wherever I'm good, you're good. You
okay.
know how that works.
Okay, we Gucci. We Gucci.
Yes,
okay.
We absolutely are. And by the way, we're Gucci and we're also getting into Audio Files, which is brought to you by AmeriSafe Mortgage. Lower mortgage rates mean higher savings. Let's hear Audio Files. Oh, we got some stuff coming out of the weekend there, Bart. Let's begin with something that got completely overshadowed on Friday with J.J. Watt and Chris Doyle. Oh, by the way, Trevor Lawrence had a pro day. Now, I understand yeah, exactly. Oh, the guy's going number one overall in the draft, who's considered a generational quarterback, and he had a pro day. Why? You're going first, dude. We all know it. Here, right before I have surgery, let me show you one more time that I have the golden arm. And I have nice flowing locks.
Sunshine.
I look like Avatar.
Like Sunshine.
Like, Sunshine. Like, it's honestly, why did he have a part? Seriously, before I play this out, why did he have a pro day?
I have no idea other than the fact that he's like, please save me from Jacksonville. You know, get up, move up.
Yeah, unless
he
tanks.
Your whole future to get me up out of there.
But honestly, like,
the crazy thing is, like, Bill Belichick and New England Patriots have representation down there. Like, why are these other teams? It's like Dion when he was coming out, when he was meeting with teams. He tells the story all the time. He was like, oh, what pick are y'all picking at? Six? Oh, I won't be there, man. I'll talk to y'all later. I'm out.
It just, to me, was one of those things that I laugh because it's like, I'm going number one. I'm not going to have a pro day. If you don't want to take me number one, that's on you. Like, I got to get surgery. I don't really feel like doing this, but he did it. And he assessed how he looked in his pro day.
It was a good day, considering kind of short notice. Prepared for like a week probably back in California, then obviously transitioned back to South Carolina to put the finishing touches on, get with the guys, get some timing down. You know, I was pretty pleased with it. Obviously, like anything, you have some throws that you wish you could go back and hit a little bit better. But, you know, as a whole, I think it was a good day. Receivers ran really well. Just really appreciate those guys, Cornell for coming back, and Sharon and Caleb and Chris, all of them. Means a lot to me, helped me out a lot. So just appreciate those guys. I thought it was a good day.
Can I also now ask, after hearing him say that, it was thrown together real quick. He had like a week to prepare. What are we doing?
Media stunt.
What, what? Yeah, exactly. What is this about? Bart, why did he have a pro day, and why did it have to get thrown together last minute? Did the Jacksonville Jaguars say, why do you have a pro day? Let's make sure, Urban, if you're not taking me, that's a you problem. I can't understand that, Bart. It doesn't make any sense to me at all.
You know what? I know why the other teams were there. That's so they can evaluate some of the
future.
Other guys.
To receive. And also future.
No, the receivers. They want to see the receivers and the guys
okay.
that he's throwing to.
That's true. Yep.
ETN, some of the receivers, tight ends, see how they look. It's an opportunity to get an up-close look at those guys. But he didn't need to do it. But it's one of those things where they want to say.
I think Bart dropped out. It's always this time of the show. Check engine light comes on. Always at 1:30 every time in the show. We will move on with audio files. There he is.
It did it once or before, but you didn't see it.
I missed it.
Yeah, I thought I could get through.
All right. We'll keep battling through. So we talked about at the top of the show, Anthony Davis has an Achilles injury, tendinosis, which Bart is not a doctor, but he played one on this show.
I had enough injuries.
And he's had many injuries, and so he described what that's all about, and he's going to be out for a while. He's getting an MRI today when the team gets to Minneapolis for their game, and so we'll have further information on this and probably a prognosis on how long he'll be out, but it expects to be for a bit. Now, we talked about its potential impact on the Lakers and their championship aspirations. Here's Woj talking about how it won't change their plans come trade deadline.
There's no replacing Anthony Davis, and if he's got to sit out a week or 2 weeks or whatever it is, maybe it's a few days, I don't think it changes how they would approach the deadline. I think there's certainly, if you're the Lakers, I think you may wait and see what the buyout market looks like. Players who get bought out of their contracts, who don't get traded at the deadline or get traded somewhere where they might just be a contract throw into a bigger deal and become available. And, you know, that's a way, if you're the Lakers, you don't have to give up any assets in a trade, whether that's draft picks, whether it's first or second rounders. And so I don't imagine this impacts how Rob Pelinka would look at the trade deadline. I think there's, you know, optimism that this is an injury that can be managed, and the Lakers are going to have to manage it.
They have to manage it, but Bart, they also now have to understand that LeBron now has to take a lot more on his shoulders because AD is not going to be 100% for the rest of the season when he does come back. They're not going to make any deals at the deadline because you're not replacing Anthony Davis with a trade at the deadline.
Right.
But does this put more pressure on LeBron, who, by the way, was warned by the league for flopping over the weekend?
Yeah, look, he got it. First, when he did the dirty foul on Embiid, he was LeDirt. Now he's LeFlop. You know, LeFlop James. So, like, you look at what LeFlop's going to have to do is, but this is a good thing, right? Because this was a team from last year, I would be concerned. But you got guys like Montez Harrell. You got, you know, CPP or whatever y'all call them. You know what I mean? You got DeMorris. This is a young, deep team.
KCP?
Yeah. I know you do.
But I'm just messing.
But you know, you got like a lot more of a supporting cast this year than the older cast that you had last year. So I think they'll be fine. But the concern is when they come and they play somebody that can punch back, that can maybe lean on him a little bit. Like, he hurt his Achilles leaning against Jokic because he's a heavy man. So you're trying to move a man, and you have to put more torque on that Achilles. This Achilles isn't going to be done. This isn't a simple thing. I would be surprised if he doesn't have a procedure in the offseason. So this is something that, listen, you can take somebody and give them rest, but it doesn't matter. It's always going to flare back up as soon as you put a heavy load on it. And the less, you know, the more load you put on it, the more inflamed it's going to become. And he's going to have to turn to pain management during the playoffs, which is a concerning thing because you worry about his conditioning and being able to have fatigue because he's not going to be, you know, playing, because the only thing for it is to rest it and ice it. You can't get on a bike. You can't run it. Everything irritates it and inflames it. So it is a cause for concern for me. But I'm sure LeBron will want nothing better to say, hey, look at what I did. Tom Brady who? You know, TB12. How about LB23? I got my own shake coming out, West Coast style, man. And it makes your hair grow back. Well, it makes your hair grow back.
I was waiting for the tweet from LeBron about how, you know, I don't know, but I wouldn't have a race car that would, you know, fail two inspections before the first race. Just saying.
Exactly.
As Jordan's car did, or
he gonna call his Space Jam. He gonna call his car Space Jam.
You know, Michael never had his key teammates. When was Scotty always hurt? You know, anyway.
Yeah. I'm gonna have more people watch my than Space Jam. My Space Jam 2 is gonna be better.
Oh man,
Space
the ratings
1.
For that movie better be epic, or he's gonna hear it. All right, on Saturday night was a return to Golden State by Kevin Durant. The Nets blew out the Warriors 134-117. KD played 33 minutes after coming back for being out because of COVID protocols. He had 20 points. Harden had 19 and 16 assists. And Kyrie Irving, 23 points on 10 of 17 shooting. The big three played only the seventh time together on the court. Only seven times they've played together on the court. The team is 5-2 in that time. But one thing that they're seeing and believing is that they are, when they are together, an unstoppable force. In fact, James Harden told Rachel Nichols he doesn't believe anybody can beat them in a seven-game series. Take a listen to this.
Of course, we're more than confident that it's going to be difficult for a team to beat us four times in the best of seven series. So I'm excited about it, and it's only been a month. All of us is, trying to get to one goal, and that's the NBA championship.
Now, KD will be out the next two games because of a hamstring strain. So just comes back and now out again. So we still won't see the big three on the court together. But in a seven-game series, it might be hard to match their offense. But their defense really is horrible. And Kyrie is the biggest issue of all. They attack him in pick and roll. That's the area. Everybody's talking about how they need a big man. They need better guard defense in the backcourt, and you have to be able to protect Kyrie because he gets picked on a ton defensively. So that's the story there. That is audio files. That was good stuff from Harden, though. That's a quote to remember from James Harden. There's no doubt about that.
He had another quote, too. He had another quote that he used, and he told Kyrie this.
I'm the captain now.
Exactly. Back up, little man. Let me and KD handle this. Let the big boys handle it. You just stand in back and you shoot to Jay when I pass it to you. 16 assists.
Yeah, Kyrie said, all right, I'm not the point guard anymore. James Harden certainly is. All right, when you gift a year of ESPN Plus, you're giving thousands of live events, exclusive originals, and full 30 for 30 library and more. Surprise a sports fan in your life with a year of ESPN Plus. Visit ESPNplus.com/giftayear for more details. More on the Nets, as I have an interesting stat about the big three that cannot be ignored. I will explain next. Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus.
Bart and Hahn.
See, Bart, that was playing in the house. But your mama was cleaning and you were just hanging out. Are you still resetting? He's still resetting. You're not even hearing the damn song. Come on. Come down. I'll just sing it for everybody, because that's what you want. Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests on the Barton Hahn Show appear on the Goodyear Hotline. Tune in tonight for college basketball action as Florida State hosts Virginia. Coverage begins at 6:30 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. So I'll give you the quick stat as I'm stalling for Bart. On the Nets' big three, so only seven games they've played together on the court. And now KD's going to be out for their next two games, so that will still stay at seven games for most of this week. There you are. I see you. You missed the music coming back and everything, my man. So the Nets are 5-2 with the big three, and they're only plus 39 in 186 minutes. So basically, They're outscored when they're on the floor, when they're on the court together, they're 5.5 points better than the opponent. You got to be better than that. Now, we know they put up numbers. Their offensive rating when they're on the floor together is 122. 122 is great. The problem is their defensive rating is 114. Kyrie's the problem. Kyrie's a bit of the issue, man. I don't know what that was.
Me either. You heard an echo?
Something.
You can't make this up, man. Y'all probably can't make this up.
That is a check engine line I've ever heard one before. But that was kind of funny.
But somebody's gonna have to bite down. And Kyrie, like, is a defensive liability. Like, what are you going to do? Harden can step up. We've seen that Harden can step up and play better defense.
I think KD definitely can play defense.
Right.
But you got Joe Harris, and then you got Kyrie. And who are you running off screens? Like, I'm beating the crap out of those two off screens. Like, you got a guard. Right. And Kyrie's a guy that you know is just never going to give it up defensively, physically, because he can't.
He's the Steph Curry of the East.
How did they protect Steph, though, all these years? Because Klay could guard people.
Right.
Right, because Draymond could guard people. They could switch a ton. They could help out. Like, that's the issue for the Nets will be, can they defend?
Well, Tucker.
Oh, no. Drummond will be terrible.
I'm just playing because Tucker,
I think P.J. Tucker's a better addition for the Nets. Andre Drummond, though, the rumor is the Cavs aren't going to play him. The Raptors are interested. Don't like that. Oladipo could be had potentially. John Collins. The Hawks are looking for an unprotected lottery pick if you want to have him. He's not happy there. And then, of course, the Bradley Beal stuff. Was Barch ready to give away this adorable, lovable, finally Knicks team building with youth and good vets and great coaching? And Barch ready to just say, trade them all, I want. He just wants to do it again. He wants to ruin your fun. They're finally 15th in the power rankings.
Ooh,
and you want to trade everybody.
15
hey, top half of the league, baby.
It gives you a first round exit out of the playoffs. That's not what I'm playing for. What I'm saying is give me Bill. Listen, the Nets built up all that young talent for what? So that they can trade their ass to get the big three that they got today. So if you can trade somebody early and get one part of the big three, you can go ahead and get the other ones to sign on. Because if you look at it, like, how many people are lined up to play with Bradley Bill? A lot. In New York.
How do the Wizards look?
Listen, he's the Matthew Stafford of freaking basketball. This dude's one of the best players that nobody ever even knows or talks about. This dude's putting up 40 burgers, 50 burgers, 60 burgers, and taking the L's like they served him at Club Shay Shay.
He said burgers, and now I'm hungry. We have another funny story to tell. We're going to have to wait till tomorrow to tell it because I really want to get your take on it and everything else. So we're going to have to tell the story tomorrow. Yeah. It's a funny story with a funny – it relates to our show as well.
We need Dominic Foxworth to come on down in front of the altar.
Yeah, we got to discuss this. You'll have to wait till tomorrow, everybody, because it's actually really funny. So we appreciate everybody for listening today. A lot more to get to throughout this week. Bart, I'll see you tomorrow.
I'll holla.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Bart and Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN+. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.